Really fun one tonight. Plenty of topics covered. We go over the weekend of college football. We go over the weekend of NFL football into the playoffs there. Obviously, the big news, Mark Gronkowski, the big transfer quarterback, is going to need surgery. What does that mean for the Hawks and him and his timeline? One of the best reasons this podcast was a good time was Drake Kulik made a random appearance for the entire hour. Many will be excited. Some will be sad. Let's have a day. Let's go. Washed up walk-ons. Almost, we could really just turn this into just an Alex Jones highlight podcast. I mean, if you catch a Patreon episode, we went over Alex Jones for like 15 minutes, I think 2 weeks ago, Grant and I did. We had a great time doing it. We won't do that tonight. There's plenty of football to talk about. Tough day, just tough day for the Broncos. I had to bring it up. Did I jinx them? Maybe there's several jinxes maybe that I've been putting out there, and we'll get to that in a second. They just didn't have it against Josh Allen and in Buffalo today. Words from Broncos Nation?
I mean, it's a tough one. It's not ideal. You don't want this kind of result, but I would like to remind the same people that are clowning on me today as we lost in the playoffs, so the same people who told me in August that this was the worst roster in the league. The same people that told that for somehow the worst roster in the league got now to the playoffs. So I just want to remind people that. I'd also, a lot of people dogging on me, seem to have forgotten that I've also seen a Super Bowl in my lifetime, which a lot of people have not seen either. So if we're just throwing things out there, let's level the playing field a little bit. But no, it's tough. Feel for guys like Riley Moss, too, friends of the show, I thought, honestly, you know, had good seasons. But just I think in the AFC, you see it, and it's just like I don't know. There seems to be a clear jump between Chiefs, Bills, Ravens right now. I think any of those three teams can win the AFC, not to diss the Texans or anything for winning their game, but I still think there's a jump there. So it was going to happen eventually. I'm happy we made the playoffs. It sounds like loser talk, but hey, we were supposed to stick, right? We're here. We're building slowly to something great. Bo Nix, future of the league still. I don't care what anyone says. We just got to have a good offseason. It's mock draft time. I'm sure Caleb Johnson now is a Bronco. Anyone else, Luke Lachey, if he wants to be a Bronco too. Anyone who wants to be a Bronco from the oh my goodness, what is this? Sorry.
Well, this is dangerous. I don't know if we
calling in from somewhere in America is Drake Kulik. Drake, go ahead.
Hey gang, I just missed you guys. I want to come hang out.
We were talking about Gary's Broncos just now as we intro the podcast.
You know, I really thought the Broncos had a chance to do it today. They kind of just pulled up and shit the bed, but I thought they had a chance.
I'll tell you what, that first drive, Bo Nix deep to Troy Franklin, I was like, we got it. We're going to win again. I was like, we're just so good at Buffalo. How do we keep doing it?
It was like the Tim Tebow, Demaryius Thomas 2.0.
Oh, I mean, well, that was like the peak of my – that's an easily top five football watching experience. I don't know if it was that good, but because we won the game. I will say, like, the feeling after that game, though, was running into an eventual buzzsaw, which was the Patriots at the time. There was a feeling after the euphoria of getting back to the playoffs last weekend of like, well, the Bills are going to be tough to beat. That's definitely a buzz. It's going to be a tall mountain to climb. But no, like I said, you know, we were supposed to be the worst team in the league, and now we're here. And young roster. I think the oldest dude on the team is like 26 or something like that. So we got a bright future ahead. I'm looking forward to the Broncos.
The oldest guy on the team is 26.
Starter, I think. I think the oldest starter is like
that. Impressive.
That's incredible.
Something like that. They're incredibly young guys. I think Bo Nix might be like the second oldest guy on the team right now, which is crazy. But it's a bright future for the Broncos. I'm disappointed. I'm upset. I thought we would play better. But, hey, I mean, looking forward. It's tennis season right now. It's Australian Open season. That's what I'm focused on. So
I saw you post a clip of that on Twitter, just like some Japanese guy beating a Brazilian or something. And I was like, Grant stayed up till 3:50 in the morning to watch this. So you probably had money on it.
To be fair, I think it was 11:30 Mountain Time.
Okay.
That was on. So, okay. But it was, Broncos, it's tough out there right now. But, hey, staying optimistic. Oh, can I make one more point, by the way?
I'm absolutely.
Sorry. While I get a tee off on the Broncos.
Yeah, sure.
If I hear one more person talk about how it should have been the Bengals today that were in the playoffs, maybe they should have just won more games. If they should have been in so bad, why didn't they just win more games? And it's the same people, too, who were all hoity-toity arguing for Indiana and SMU to get into the playoff. They're now like, oh, big old Bengals, consistent Joe Burrow should be in the playoffs now. And it's just counter-arguments. So, I don't know. I don't want to hear it. Broncos deserve to be there. And this is there's no committee for the NFL. It's like these are the teams that are in here by design. It's not even up for debate.
It
would be interesting, though, if there was a committee. Because, I mean, despite the fact that everyone's in the NFL and all the teams are pretty damn good, like, there's actually still strength of schedule issues. Like, the AFC South was, like...
They're terrible.
Terrible. I mean, obviously, Houston still won, but just a garbage conference this year.
Kev, did you see the and Gary and Clue, obviously, but Kev, you were the one that was talking. Did you see the chart that showed, or the graph that showed the teams who lost the most amount of like recovery days in their season due to scheduling?
No,
I did. You see it, Grant?
Like
I saw
a plus minus, and the Niners had like a minus 21 because of the way that their season was scheduled.
I saw the same thread, Drake. It was like a 10 tweet thread. It wasn't just the rest days either. There was a bunch of other stuff on there too. I found it extremely intriguing. So the
I would imagine the West Coast teams always get hit the hardest. Or on average, no, probably.
It was based on day. I don't know how he classified it, but it was like plus or minus days of rest versus your opponent added up over the season. So, like, I think the rate. Mm. I could be totally wrong on this.
So it's like how many days of rest did you have this week versus your opponent this week, and then just netted over the season over.
And I think the Ravens had something ridiculous like plus 27 days rest on their opponents.
Well, how's that even possible?
It doesn't make sense.
Here it is. Is this it? Can you see it?
Yes, that's it. So the Ravens had plus 16. The Niners were minus 21. They had a 35-day, over a month differential in rest across the entire season.
I mean, did...
So the way that works for anybody listening, then that's
like
confused.
Thursday games,
Thursday night games, Monday night games. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you get a Thursday night game. Yeah. You obviously you're on a short week, but you're always going to be playing someone who is also on a short week.
Bye weeks were also considered in there.
Then you get like, I don't
know. And like times of day that you play. If you play a night game one, then an early game the next.
Yeah. True.
Mm-hmm.
Like Monday night and then back to Sunday morning, you're losing a bunch of time.
Now you guys.
But yeah, it looks like, yeah, there's a, you know, you got San Fran, Denver, Indianapolis is up there, but you also got Seattle, the Chargers, like the bottom five teams are mostly on the West Coast, which probably that the travel probably is what impacts.
And you guys, you two specifically, not really me, knowing how beat up your body gets into the, you know, deeper into the season. Can you imagine over a month differential on an NFL schedule on these guys?
Look at the Niners injuries this year.
It's crazy. There's a bunch of, this is like literally, there's 10 different.
I mean, this is like malpractice that it's this much.
I thought so too, Kevin. Right? When I saw,
I mean, like you'd expect it to all average out over the course of the season, you know, like maybe like plus or minus five throughout the course of the season.
Agreed. When I saw the differential between the Ravens and the Niners, I thought, how do you
30? That's a 37-day difference over the course of
how do you even months? Expect them to win bulk? Like I don't know. That's a significant disadvantage. I don't know how you fix that. Where are the Broncos in that? By the way,
we are next to the 49ers.
Oh yeah, so that's tough. So you guys are really beating the odds.
Yeah, Goodell just doesn't want us to succeed, and we're going to succeed anyway. I don't care.
You guys, hey, I am happy for you guys rebuilding.
We're trying our best.
Drake, since you're here, I saw you post. We'll just stay in the NFL on the front end of this thing. I saw you post the Brock Bowers versus George Kittle stats. How do you feel about George being snubbed for first team All Pro?
I mean, does somebody have an argument for me?
No, I don't. I wasn't bringing anything to the table. I just kind of wanted to hear you pissed about George not being.
It's a sham. That one was a sham. Brock had a great season, but just objectively speaking, the efficiency mixed with everything else that George does, it's not like you're giving it to a guy that's on a phenomenal team that's making like a playoff run. Those 153 targets didn't amount to anything more than George's. Like, he had a bunch of catches, less efficiency on yards per catch, less efficiency on touchdowns per target. Like, two and three quarters times less efficient than George when it comes to targets per touchdown, and that's what pays the bills. So I don't know the argument.
Here's another thing that I'm not sure any voters took into any account. And I didn't watch a whole lot of Raiders football this year, but how is Brock Bowers in the run game blocking and such?
Yeah, I mean, he's not George. Yeah.
That's what I don't like about specifically the tight end, but there's a lot of hidden stats that certain positions have where they make a difference. I think about Desmond when he had his insane year.
Yeah, and the next year he only had three picks because they just didn't.
Right, and the person who doesn't know ball looks at that and he goes, oh, wow, Desmond King got way worse this year. No, he's so good that teams are avoiding his side of the field. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a little bit of that with George Kittle, where unless you've got like a committee of Greg Olson and Tony Gonzalez and like all the great Jeremy Shockey, like, and those are the guys voting on this award. They're not going to look at like, oh, how's George in the run game? Like, how much of a difference does he really make in the run game? And I don't know how much of a difference, like you said, Kev, I also don't watch. In fact, I watch 0 minutes of Raiders football this year. Maybe Brock Bowers
did a lot of time doing that.
Trying to be efficient with my time. But I highly doubt that Brock Bowers is even close to as meaningful in the run game as George is. And the hard thing is how do you factor that in? Like how do you quantify that when you're trying to put two resumes against each other and decide on awards?
Yeah. And like an offensive line, they always do it like pressure rate and sacks allowed, but because that's the only stats that they really can have for an offensive lineman, right? But obviously, you don't really have that for tight ends because they're in the passing game not doing that.
I will say this cool thing. Maybe George misses out there, but one guy who did not miss out is T. Daddy, Tristan Wirfs, first player in the NFL history to be first team all pro at right tackle, first team all pro at left tackle. And I truly, that might be the most insane stat in all of statistics on earth.
Honestly, he should play the other three positions on the offensive line in the next, well, he's probably
next decade.
Left in the league. Just like, I just want all five. I just want to be the single best offensive line of all time.
I think he could do it. Yeah. I think he could do it at guard. I think center would be tough.
You're telling me that somebody as generationally talented as that guy couldn't figure it out?
If there was going to be of those three positions, the center is going to be tougher than him.
Of course. But his ceiling is only what his mind can imagine, dude.
Yeah, he is. When they say there's people that are built different, Tristan Wirfs is in that group of people. And good for him. Mount Vernon's finest, just straight out of Iowa. Loves Bush Light and crushing defensive linemen. And it just is what it is. Son is cute as hell. Got a little family now. Love to see it. Friend of the pod has always been great to this podcast. So shout out to the guy. He could be on top of the world, A-list superstar, and he decides to give us time usually once a year, which is great. And
also, shout out to Lindy while we're at it because he's balling his ass off in Baltimore.
Two guys who were doubted by the NFL scouts. Lindy's arms too short. Guy's too short. He's probably not going to get it done. Somehow people doubted Tristan Wirfs. I don't know how they watched Tristan Wirfs and found ways to be like, yeah, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it.
He was the third offensive lineman off the board that year.
Fourth.
I don't know how you.
I remember how pissed Drake was.
I don't know how you missed right that.
Drake, do you remember how mad you were when Tristan went fourth off the board?
Brother, when Arizona drafted Isaiah Simmons over Tristan, I almost had a brain aneurysm and a double coronary.
Drake almost visited the Cardinals livid. Facility. He was about to burn the place down.
You want to know what's funny is that they just – so San Francisco came down here to Arizona. So I walked through and did the I was at the stadium and I
You were there.
I was there and I made a comment to somebody there about, you know, how'd that Isaiah Simmons pick turn out?
What did they say?
This person was like, I wasn't here when
they were probably like, I don't know who that guy, I don't know who that guy. No, but it's cool to see. Oh, here we go. No brainer for the Bucks to take Tristan Wirfs 13th overall.
Graded a B though.
B.
No.
And now he's got, doesn't he have he has the highest, does he have the highest lineman contract?
I think so.
Sounds good. I'll believe it.
Find me the contract, Grant. And
he did just re-sign. I think it is.
I feel like he definitely was. And somehow we definitely, there we go. Signed for a 5-year. Oh my God, that's so many numbers, dude. $140 million. 25.
Is that the biggest contract?
It's got to be. I don't.
Tristan Wirfs of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL with a 5-year, $140 million.
Which means he's the highest paid of all time.
Good for the
boy.
Oh, man. That's incredible.
Did you see the 25 on the line right there?
Oh, yeah.
$25 million signing bonus.
He's going to make. I mean, that's such stupid money that it's hard to even gather that mentally. What else? There's a couple, obviously Riley and the Broncos there, Grant. He's now exiting the playoffs. Still plenty of Hawks in the playoffs though. I think there was 8 or 9 on the graphic. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Watching Riley Moss play corner in the NFL is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
It's so sick.
Like cool. He is out there doing his thing. Like he is not a liability whatsoever. He is out there on an island doing it in the NFL.
Yeah.
So as we didn't have the yeah, go ahead.
No, you gotta get.
I was gonna say, as far as the Hawks taking home a Super Bowl this year, I think Iowa fans were just fading the Commanders and the Texans now.
No, Carl Davis is on the Commanders, bro.
Carl
is on the Commanders.
Carl Davis is a Commander.
Wow.
Shout out to Big Slutty. I still talk to him on Instagram. He's still my boy.
That's crazy.
Man, he's hung around a long time.
Shout out to Carl Davis.
We don't have a Chief anymore, do we?
I don't believe we have a Chief anymore, and I'm fading the Chiefs harder than anybody's ever faded a team. And I am so sick and tired of the Kansas City Chiefs that, we're praying to every God that exists that these assholes lose a football game.
Yeah. I missed you, Drake. Yeah. What would I do without you, Drake?
I missed you too, Bone Dog.
I missed you so much, man.
We had Big Head, Big Ben Neiman on there for a while, but now he's gotten equally
good. He's a Detroit Lion, bro.
He's got an equally good shot of taking one home this year with the 15-2 Lions.
Dude, the Lions are
good. I talked to Ben today. He's at home with his feet up enjoying not being playing a football game.
I can only imagine, man.
Being a one seed's nice. And the Lions are so good, but they're also they've been so banged up. They're kind of – it's crazy. They've got to be the most great. I love Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell is like
– he's probably my favorite coach in the league.
Got to be. Another one that's great, though, is the Patriots just hired Vrabel, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did.
That's a cool hire.
It's a great hire.
I think that might work well. Like if there's a guy who's
– how crazy is life, dude? Vrabes went from playing under Belichick to then being a coach against Belichick to then taking Belichick's former job.
Taking over the program. Well,
I mean, that is absolutely wild.
Down in Carolina.
North Carolina. While Bill is roaming the campus of Chapel Hill. Like, what do we
– I'm so excited to see how that turns. I don't know if it's going to go great, terrible, or average.
Well, apparently
is that not the most – Is that not the most insane hire that you've seen in football? Bill Belichick, arguably the greatest coach in football history, coming out of retirement to coach at North Carolina?
So I'm not sure what the NIL support is in North Carolina, but can you imagine being a college kid? It's like, I can go play for Bill Belichick.
I mean, yeah, that recruiting by itself is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But can you imagine Bill Belichick putting up with some of the bullshit that these college kids are pulling these days?
No, not at all. I cannot. Yeah,
that's really hard to imagine. It really is.
But I mean, as a pro coach, like, it's, you probably have more experience with stuff like that than, you know, say like the college coaches did 3 years ago when this all kind of blew up.
Agreed.
Guys that are just worried about their money, their contracts, et cetera. It's like, I need my playing time so I can get my catches and so I can get my bonus, et cetera.
All the reports said too that this is a no bullshit. Like, he is going to bring guys and coaches and basically anybody that has any sort of hand on the operation. It's going to be professionally run. It's no BS. Like,
well, yeah, it's Bill Belichick.
That's what I'm saying. He's not going to waste his time. And here's what I'm saying is, like, he's going to whatever state North Carolina was in before this, he is going to get it as close to or past how professionally Iowa does it, because I think there was a lot of comparisons drawn, like, oh, this just sounds like how Iowa runs their program. He's going to try and do that. And I would say Iowa, still some bullshit that they have to deal with over there, but like less than other programs, they don't have to deal with some of that crazy stuff. The NIL is good in North Carolina, but for basketball, I don't know what they can pull for football. It'll be interesting to see.
They got the Jordan sponsorship. They got money over there.
They've got their own Phil Knight.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Does Belichick do as much for North Carolina as Prime did for Colorado?
Less rappers on the sideline. Maybe more like.
Right, like, but
80s,
he took
80s rock artist on the sideline
in 2 years. Colorado went from 0-12 to 8-4 and filling their stadium. I mean, that is for a program turnaround, that's significant.
Made it interesting to watch, no doubt. I think the biggest thing he did is he took Shadur and Travis Hunter there.
It helped
as far as on the field performance.
It helped.
I think counterpoint too. I think look at the ACC right now, wide open. Like,
wide open.
Not like, I think Clemson's going to be at the top still for a little bit, but like outside of them, like I don't know. I think you just saw what Fran Brown did with Syracuse. He took them to 9-3. They beat Miami.
Miami without Cam Ward. I don't know what
Carson Beck to Miami.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, that doesn't.
He's more worried about his girlfriend than anything else, bro.
He's got a Cavender twin on his hip and $4 million in his pocket, dude. Watch out, the Hurricanes.
You ever see the Snapchat, man? He's not worried about football.
Something else going on.
Horny guy?
Grant
was going to say crazy horny.
I'll let you find. Go on Twitter and figure it out for yourself.
Some of those SEC quarterbacks, man, they have gotten just burnt on the Snapchat poll. Like, it's tough world down there on the snap.
Dude, he's too worried about eating famous butt crack to play quarterback anymore.
And there it is. And that's why. That's what you're just not going to get that with us three. You're just not going to get that. And that's what we have. Yeah, where was I even going to go? I don't know.
Belichick could be fun.
He could be.
I just want to know, do you guys think that he's really going to be
–
can he really be Bill Belichick in college football?
We'll see. I do not think he can take them as far – unless he were to, like, make the playoff and win a game – in 2 years, it would be hard to make up the same distance that Deion did, because Deion picked up a literal bottom of the barrel program.
Winless.
Yeah. And North Carolina, how many games did they win this year? I mean, they were
five.
They were a tough program to watch.
This is the post Drake May era in North Carolina.
They lost their bowl game to UConn. I remember
they won at least six.
It was a disaster.
Losing UConn's not. That's a bad spot to be.
Hey, I mean,
in football, that's not good.
No, respect. I'm going to respect Jim Moore. He's a good coach over at UConn. He's doing good things.
Started off the season with a great win over Minnesota, though, so we thank them for that.
Yeah, true.
Oh my God, that's right.
True. Unlike week zero or whatever. Kev, I have good news. I have great news, Kevin.
Mm.
Donnelly's was mentioned on two podcasts ago.
Right. All right.
And we were sad because me and Grant had seen the same thing, and I don't know what we saw because I confirmed this. Donnelly's closed, right? Wrong. Donnelly's is alive and well. I've been contacted by the owner and several other people. Hey, we're not closed. Come on down. Do another podcast.
Let's go.
We'd love to have you.
Set it up.
So we misspoke. That's on me. I'll take that. Go to Donnelly's and get some bomb ass wings because I'm not that. Never in my life have I been more truthful and authentic than when I talk about Donnelly's wings. I've never, this is an unpaid, no free shout out. Shout out of the week.
We need advertisers.
Careful. Donnelly's. Don't worry. I locked one down on Friday. Those wings are good. Go eat there. They are not closed.
Where did this misinformation that they closed came from?
I guess a building next to them closed down or something. Yeah,
it was on Twitter. Like, it was multiple articles.
I saw Donnelly's closed, but it's something else is closed.
Yeah, I'd like to make a formal apology right now to Donnelly, I guess, or whoever is the owner. No,
Josh is the guy's name.
Donnelly.
I'd like to make a formal apology. I was misinformed. I'm glad your business is still up. I support small businesses.
Yeah, we I told him, hey, if there's ever an opportunity, you know, the three or four of us, we don't really all get to Iowa City at the same time anymore very often. But if we do,
hey, sell our beer and I'm there. Do a beer drop so we can make a bunch of money for the kids and I'm there.
We could make a run of hops, bring it over to Donnelly's, do a podcast, sling some brewski. I mean,
why is that beer not a full time thing, dude? Don't we just sell it out like crazy?
We've done well the two times that we've done it, but there's more to that than that. It's
brew
not that
more.
It's brew a more delicious beer.
Brew more beer. There's your answer. I mean, brew right. More beer.
It is that simple. You're right. It is that simple. I jinxed us. Okay. And I think Grant knows where I'm going here.
Tried to warn you.
You did, and it's going to be in here. I'm going to play a clip from just last podcast here, and hopefully you guys can hear this. But this is us talking about Mark Gronowski, and I put my foot right in my mouth. What I like about him, and this could be, I'm sure he's had dings and stuff. But you know, I go to his stats here. I'm on ESPN. You know, 2020.
Sure.
What did he? Here's something. What happened in 2021? Because there's no 2021 on there. So did he miss a season for injury? He did. He tore his ACL in 2021. Okay, so that was confirmed by a couple of people in the comments. But then 22, 23, 24, he's been good, right? He's been good. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's pretty sturdy.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's pretty – like, and I got to knock on wood here because I don't want Grant to, like, go clip this in 8 months when if he gets injured or something. I don't want that to happen.
No, don't you dare.
But – like, he feels like a kind of guy, and this is going to be a thing, right? Because we just spent $2 billion on Cade McNamara, and then
I gotta stop here. This is already, I know what you're about to say is going to jinx this so bad.
No,
I can't even. I have to stop you right now.
You just can't be a part of this.
I don't want, like, because I just don't want to be. I don't want us to even consider jinxing him.
Is this something to? It looks nice to have a guy who like doesn't have a significant Cade coming into Iowa. Was coming off of a major knee surgery. We go on to talk about it. Yeah, he's healthy, man. He's healthy. He ain't fucking healthy. Did I jinx him?
Try to stop you.
Did I jinx him? Maybe.
Here's the thing, though. I'm 100% convinced that this was fully disclosed before any commitment or offer or signage.
And it was. It was. This is obviously not. I mean, who knows? Maybe I changed the course of history and altered the fabric of time, and it was my fault. I'm pretty sure this was something that has long before our conversation. Grant shaking his head. No, it's definitely my fault. They knew about this. The other schools. I just saw a tweet by somebody. Maybe Chris Hassel was providing an opinion on something like, "Oh, Miami was a team. Miami, Wisconsin, Washington State, some of the other big schools that were potentially going to look into Gronowski as a transfer. Miami canceled their flight to go meet with him in South Dakota after they found out that he was potentially going to need surgery." So is this, here's the deal. It is a surgery that is going to keep him out of spring ball.
Tough.
He played with this injury that he has, which makes me think like sports hernia. Was it like a meniscus thing? Like a meniscus would
recover. I heard knee, right?
Yeah.
I heard arm. So I
thought, okay, well, we're all, nobody knows. He played with this injury.
Some sports media fucking program you three assholes are.
Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, what's your source say, Drake?
My source says I showed up to hang out with my friends who know what they're talking about.
He's got an injury.
Well, that's where you fucked up because we've never known.
That's your issue.
Never claimed to be an expert.
Yeah, before you ever left, you knew what the deal was.
But here's how good is Bone Dog as a third? He's better than me.
We do get a lot of positive feedback on Grant.
It's too kind. Thank you. There's no replacing Drake Kulik, though, and I've made that very clear.
Yeah,
there's no second Drake Kulik out there.
We're all
hugs and kisses, y'all.
The problem with this injury thing is I don't think the injury itself, hopefully coming back or like, you know, being an issue. It's that getting the surgery on it now requires him to miss like 4 or 5 months. We're not going to have him until June. We only have him through December anyway. He's a one-year guy. He misses an entire spring ball, all 15 practices, install, on the field, with the receivers, timing, all this stuff. How big of a deal is this?
Well, missing spring ball is huge.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, he's an experienced guy. He'll be able to pick up a lot and learn mentally just on the sideline and in the
– And I have to stop you on one thing. He won't miss the installs and he won't miss the walkthroughs. Like he won't miss the mental reps. So yes, he will miss out significantly, but he will learn the offense before he steps into camp. But I mean, significant to not get those reps with the first team, significant.
It does help that he's going into his 10th year, like all these other super senior coach, like he's a smart guy. He's run off. I mean, I love that he's won championships. Kev, you weren't here the other night. We didn't even get your opinion on what this guy could be. I know you know just as much as we do at this point, but the pedigree that he brings along with him is nice. It's better that he's a veteran. He's been through like 4 or 5 spring balls. He's done. So what he's missing is not necessarily like a young guy who's like never
had the whole, the same coaching staff at South Dakota State the entire time there. Or same offensive coordinator. I mean, I'm sure he's been through more.
Has he ever been forced to learn a new playbook in such a compressed amount of time?
I would think likely not.
I mean, the older you get, the easier it gets, right?
Sure.
The more experience you have. Like,
you would hope so.
I mean, look at the NFL.
If the verbiage is completely.
The NFL guys who've been playing football for 10 years, like, they'll get traded midweek and be starting the next week. It's like, yeah, pretty much everyone.
A lot of those guys will say, though, that like in the NFL, there's only 2 or 3 verbiages. And if you've played for 2 different coaches, you've probably heard basically all of it. That's just what I've heard from NFL guys. I just don't know if
the plays are all the same.
He's only played at one program.
Yeah, he's got to learn the.
You do, right. It's just verbiage.
If he can pick up on that, I feel not horrible about it, but it's not ideal.
But then also think about how important it is to have a guy who's comfortable enough with the offense to manipulate it at the line of scrimmage when the bullets are flying. Because the coach can call good plays, but if the defense is making good adjustments and playing the coverages that are beating your play call, like you have to be able to change the line of scrimmage. And if you don't have a great concept of the offense, it's hard to do so.
I agree. Somehow, even with him missing 4 months spring ball, like starting up in the summer, the promise of him, what he brings, what he puts on film, I think even the Mark Gronowski that we're getting, and this is maybe just says more about our current situation that we've had. I think he's still clearly the guy and better than what we've had in the last 3 or 4 years. It's not saying a ton, but I do think that it's still like we're going to be fine. I think we'll be okay. What's interesting to me about this is the number that's been floated, Drake, you probably haven't heard this, but it is like $1.2 million to bring this guy in.
This kid from South Dakota State, yep. who's coming off of two knee injuries.
If this one's a knee, yeah. That's brother. Too much, right? That's brother. Too much for damage.
Brother, one.
I don't want to call
hold on,
goods,
hold on, hold
but
on,
if you find
on.
Out through this process, hey, I'd love to come. We'll discuss some numbers. I do have a little thing that I might have to get some surgery on, might miss spring ball. Man, that cuts the number down quick for me.
No, but wait, hold on. $1.2 million to a guy that
you're a one-year deal, right? He's got 1 year of eligibility regardless.
He's going to spend less than 12 months in a Hawkeye uniform.
Dog. Wait.
100 racks a month.
Bro, no. It's way more than that. It's way more than that. He's from his work time is so much less than a full 12 months. He's going to get 3 weeks of spring or 3 weeks of fall camp and then a season. You just pray this kid gets healthy enough and picks up the offense well enough. And
The new question is probably, did we just get fleeced by Mark Gronowski? I guess that's the question. It is
we'll find out in December.
Well, we got fleeced by Cade McNamara.
That is probably fair at this point. Yeah.
We'll find out in December. This guy was, I imagine if he was healthy, he was going to the NFL.
I mean, that's a great dude to have on your roster.
Here's the other thing. He could get healthy and like pick up the offense and like feel good about it. And by the time we get through fall camp, we start playing and we're like, damn, this is what a veteran quarterback who knows how to throw the ball, knows how to go through his progressions looks like.
I already know. His name's CJ Beathard.
But we can't have CJ back. CJ, although at this point, you probably could find a year of eligibility somehow. shout out to Siege, by the way. Another, 8 years in the league. Guy's just doing it. Never had him on this podcast. I always wanted to, but to be honest, I was.
I
just have a feeling of a lot of the guys we played with, and I respected him too much to reach out to him. It's just like, why would I waste your fucking time, CJ? Maybe when he's retired and he's bored. By the way, shout out to Casey Kreider, about to go into his 10th season in the league.
After what, teaching for 3 years, 4 years?
He's like a substitute science teacher in West Branch and like the surrounding area of Iowa City as he was like going through mini camps trying to find a spot. And now he's about to be a decade in the league.
I mean, that's just the thing, man. Once you got that spot, it's yours until you fuck it up.
And he just hasn't fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to him. Living my dream.
That's the dream.
Casey's not going to fuck it up either. He's the consummate
professional. He was that way in college.
I mean, so we're 30, so he's probably 34. He can do this for another 6 years if he wants to, probably.
Year 9 in the books. All glory to God. Not the results we'd hope for. Yeah, the Giants are dog shit.
Has he ever been on a decent team?
Nope. He started with the Broncos. Never.
Oh.
And then, that was back in the tough years, Grant. And then he got traded to the Giants, and they've been ass his whole time too.
Hold on. Year 9, did he? Oh, he was right. He come in the same year as Josie? Or?
No, he would have come in 3 years ahead of us. Four.
He might have
his first year. Well, so he missed the Super Bowl year.
He missed
the Super Bowl year because there was 2 years in there where he was with the Cowboys, cut, signed. They would always cut him like last cut in camp. And then finally, what was the year you guys won the Super Bowl? 15?
15. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he started in 16.
So he came in right after OGs.
Yes. Tough.
I think it was technically the spring of 16. Actually, I could be wrong on that.
I think his first season would have been the fall of 16. Yeah, that would have been. That's correct. That math checks out. But good for them. They added another kid. They've got four kids. Four kids?
Yeah, I've spring got of 16. My bad. Sorry.
I've got one kid, and I'm watching the monitor right now, trying to make sure she stays asleep so we can record this podcast. Four kids, dude. Elite. Shout out to him being 6'2". I still feel like I'd be there if I was 6'2".
Probably be in the NBA, actually. You'd probably just be dunking and
I score
around high jump, maybe. Yeah. Just doing tall guy things.
No.
Exit row on an airplane.
I could just buy that.
On Southwest, if you just check in on time, you can get it.
Ike Cold on Twitter.
Big shout out to Southwest.
I called on Twitter. He'll have surgery in the coming weeks. Will not begin on-field team workouts until June. This is from KF.
In the coming weeks, what are we waiting on?
Mark played last season with a common football-related injury. KF said, while he could have continued to play through the injury, Mark is choosing to have a procedure to address the issue, and we support him in his decision. Our sports med team thoroughly reviewed his records and has confidence he will be fully rehabbed in time to participate in our summer program. Mark will participate in all non-practice team activities while he recovers.
So not playing spring ball means you're out for back for summer, means it's 3 to 4 month recovery.
Yeah.
Which is not just a simple knee scope, because that's like a 3 to 4 week recovery.
Unless you're Brandon Sheriff, he did it in 5 days.
Yeah, exactly. It could be a meniscus repair instead of which is possible.
If he tore the meniscus, yeah.
I mean, that'd be quick labrum repair in the shoulder. It's possible.
That would be impossible.
I know nothing about that. Kevin, probably our better.
Like five months, I mean, you're bound back to right.
I would not have been.
Maybe it says non-throwing arm too. If that's what you heard.
If you're giving him a new ankle, you have to tell us. If you find out, if you walk into the office,
you need to violate HIPAA laws, Kevin,
or just hint to us without losing your job.
No, so that'd be my guess. If it's a knee, it's probably meniscus repair. If it's a shoulder, I don't know, labrum repair would probably be my best guess. Okay. I mean, common football injury, meniscus and labrums.
And concussions. Drake, how are those going?
I don't think I'm getting any concussions anymore.
Are there any prolonged symptoms that you continue to experience now almost a decade after our career?
What are you, my therapist?
We don't talk a lot anymore, man. I just want to make sure you're okay. You're not, you know. There's been fits of road rage been told on this podcast. I know that at some points there's been some dodgeball games with in an insane asylum. I just don't.
It was kickball.
Gentleman's game of kickball.
Yeah, I mean, I keep that thing on me if that's what you're asking. I'm ready for whatever.
That's not what I'm asking. And
no, that's the exact opposite. We don't want you ready for that type of whatever.
I do have a title for this podcast, though. Drake comes back, quote, I got that thing on me, if that's what you're asking. Okay, let's get into let's do a little bit of – oh, I do want to mention we got a receiver. We got him. What's his name, Grant?
Sam Phillips.
Sam Phillips.
I saw his highlights. Dude can scoot.
Chattanooga receiver.
Shout out to Chat, baby. Chattanooga.
I mean, this guy had like 78 targets, didn't drop a ball. Made some incredible grabs. One was like an ESPN highlight, one hand on the sideline. I saw that one clip and I thought, sign me up. We'll take him. We need all the guys we can get that can do that. So Gronowski's got at least one guy added that we didn't have this past season in the black and gold. Maybe that's his target. Hopefully everybody else develops. RVZ, young guy, put a little weight on a freshman in the offseason. Maybe he's a guy. Still love what we got in Jacob Gill. I think we have the pieces if we can just get this thing to flow a little bit.
I actually was kind of impressed with Jacob Gill for what we've been dealing with. He seems to be a pretty good
receiver. He was very serviceable. Like very. I don't know if he's your go to. Like, hey, we got to throw the fade. I think that might be this Phillips guy, but Gill finds spots in the defense. He seems to catch well. Like he did plenty for us this year.
It'll be interesting to see what Reese looks like next year.
Yeah.
Young kid, played as a true freshman. Lanky kid. Like you can tell he's never been big. But first year in a Big Ten program, all that food, some more testosterone. Kid might grow up on us. No, everything between the lines. Eyes. This is the University of Iowa, for Christ's sake.
Shut up quick like you stupid piece of shit. I could use some exogenous right now. I did. I don't know if you guys saw, and I know you don't care because this is stuff we did at Iowa a long time ago, but no straps from the ground. I almost hit a 335 power clean and jerk on Saturday.
I did see that. That was impressive, man.
Hit 325 solid and 335 damn near, and I outlifted Cole Fisher, which made me feel good.
Yeah, dude, you are crazy strong. Like, there's no doubt about it. I beat the piss out of you, but you are crazy strong.
All true. All facts. Nothing was a lie there.
What did you say it was? How much?
335.
Oh, I actually heard Kevin did 336 the other day. So,
and that wouldn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't think Kevin does anything that puts him in harm's way.
I've got no jerk ability. Honestly, the most impressive part about that.
No jerk ability.
I'm sorry, Alyssa.
No jerk ability, huh? All right.
I was going to say the most impressive part about that is the no straps, I think.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. Whole different ball game.
I'd rip my thumbs off, I think.
Yeah, you got hook ripping at that point, and it's not necessarily a fun thing. Anyway, there's your CrossFit talk for the pod. There were two college football games that happened since our last episode. Notre Dame played Penn State. Ohio State played Texas. We had the opportunity. It was right there for an all Big Ten championship. And Grant, I mean, you can provide your thoughts. You're a big Notre Dame guy. We all know. So what do we think about college football this past week? You could also bring up our betting because we actually
– Oh, shoot.
Which is a great graphic. Drake 0-1 on the year still. Tough one for him. But we are
– Not tough year. Scores. Not updated records.
I think I went 2-2. I hit on the Ohio State -6 and the Penn State Notre Dame over, which was
so fucking lucky,
which is really in doubt for a while. And then they just decided to score all the points. But
they
Penn State
turned off the defense in the fourth quarter and gave up 28 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. You love to see it. Kevin had the other side of that, which is why he's upset about that. Penn State did not cover 1.5 and the OSU Texas game went under. So I was 2-2. Kevin was 1-1.
It's so insane that Texas just gave that game away. They just gave it away so many times. They played so shitty.
I don't know if they'd say they gave it away. I mean,
they came out.
I feel like Ohio State played worse.
They came out and didn't get off the bus. They didn't get off the bus. They waited till halftime to start playing.
I understand what you're saying, Drake. I do think that Ohio State didn't play at the level that they had been playing at either.
That's what I'm saying is you're playing a team that's not even playing up to their level, and they squandered
an opportunity for sure that Ohio State sort of in part gave.
They did exactly what the Packers did today because Philly was trying to give Green Bay that game every chance they could, and the Packers just
shout out to Cooper DeJean, you know? Love the kid. Coop DeJean, sponsored by Cooper Cheese.
Who could forget?
Let's go, Philly. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Cooper Sharp, baby.
By the way, what are the odds that there's just no white cornerbacks in the NFL for two decades, and then Iowa puts two of them in there, like almost back-to-back?
Who else was going to do it?
So are you asking me now? Because now I would bet heavily on that.
I know, but like it's just 100%. You're looking at it, you're like, what are literally the statistical odds of this? It's astronomical. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. We've discussed how truly unfathomable it is that one of our fellow whites is playing on the outside.
Two exciting egg whites. And they call him – I mean, there's literally his black teammates are calling him their Jackie. on his Instagram comments, his teammates are saying, "That's my Jackie."
Imagine that.
Dude. It's unbelievable.
That's generational funny. Talent by a what?
Freaking out of Odebolt.
Odebolt, dude, out of OBGYN.
And the kid who made that comment is the other one. He's the other one.
That's why, dude. I couldn't be a bigger fan of those two guys.
That's what I'm saying. If I was – Grant, you know I'm not a jersey guy, but if I was going to get two jerseys, it would be the exciting whites out of Iowa.
I was looking at the Riley Moss one heavily last week.
In the orange.
In the classic, yes, the 70s throwback.
Bone dog. Let me Venmo you for half of it, and then we'll share it.
What are you gonna cut?
Well, then I gotta wear like a one that's a size too big.
No, I'll wear a small one.
Or you gotta wear one that's too small.
I'll wear a small one. Did you see how tight our jerseys were at Iowa, dude? I'm used to it.
That's true.
So then, what is it like? I get weekends and you get weekdays. Like,
it's like a couple.
No, you get. We'll coin flip for the second half of the season, then we'll rock paper scissors for playoffs.
There you go.
Oh my gosh,
love that.
The pressure. What if they get back next year and I lose the Riley Moss jersey?
Oh man, and you're not able
to wear it. Okay. Yeah.
If you want to
split a jersey, we could.
I mean, I'm looking at it right here. You guys, we could do it on air if somebody wants to get the credit card out. I mean, here it is.
Rather not put credit card number on YouTube.
I mean, look how beautiful. I also would prefer that. Grant, look at how beautiful that is.
I know it's a great jersey. I can't believe every day that this is what frustrates me most with the Broncos right now. This is priority number one in the offseason. Why are these not the primary? Every day that these are not the primary uniforms for the Broncos, we are choosing to not be as good as we could be.
Because of the jerseys.
Well, I mean, look good, feel good, play good. You know that. Would you rather have cool jerseys or not as cool jerseys?
You know what is actually – that is a sick jersey, Grant, but you know what actually might take the cake on that?
Is the Broncos?
No, is a Cooper DeJean jersey in the Kelly green.
We're talking Broncos right now.
I know, but we're
talking Broncos.
Well, we're kind of talking about the exciting whites.
We could the Kelly green's nice. I remember as soon as he got drafted, I put it up on Twitter. I was like, might have to scumbag like Eagles fan.
Black
green is
better, I think.
You like the blacks? Yeah, they're clean. I like the look. I think black and green. I think what they got going on over there is cool. Philly, dangerous team. I think they could actually. I think they could just beat anybody on the right day too. But no, you're not going to see an all Big Ten championship. Penn State. James Franklin did James Franklin things. He just doesn't win big games.
Can I be honest with this one, James Franklin?
Sure.
In most of the big games, I feel like I look back, I'm like, wow, that was crazy decision making. Is there really a moment in this game where you look at it and you're like, that was 100% James Franklin's fault?
No. And I'm always one to not, like, I think it's ridiculous when people are like, unbelievable, this one's on the head coach. Knowing how many thousands of factors go into a football game, you're like, oh, that one's on the head coach, huh? He's the one that lost that game. Very rarely is that, I mean, if ever, is that truly the case? And yeah, I would say a lot of people are not fans of Drew Aller after this weekend.
Which is tough. I mean, that's
tough performance out of him.
That was a tough one to be like, hey, I'm going to come back next year and boost my draft stock, be the number one pick, and that was the first game.
Yeah.
Every time I watch a Penn State game, I like Drew Aller less and less.
I've been saying this since the very beginning, bro.
About something.
Dude, do you like him? Not all that.
Do you like him less than Trace McSorley?
No. God, no.
Damn, it's getting there.
How high on the dislikes mountain is Trace McSorley for you personally, Kevin, or / Drake? How many people are above him, honestly? There's not many.
I mean, anymore, I don't care. But back in 2017, when he punted that ball into the stands,
I'm honestly surprised you didn't wring his neck, Drake. Find him, like
I couldn't get to him, bro. There's no way. God, I hate that bastard though for that.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough one.
You know what's probably hilarious is right now I'm just.
Just completely different. Have we
could have been much. Could have been much different.
I'm just standing here caressing my AR, just thinking about Trace McSorley.
After all right, that's
I'd cut that part.
Yeah, a little aggressive speech there.
Your legal reasons.
I'd your audio rectangle is what your AR. Okay. Do we have any thoughts? Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Jokes, people. Jesus Christ.
No. There's going to be a championship game. Does Ohio State just win this thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
If Ohio State shows up and plays like Ohio State can play, it's going to be a repeat of Ohio State Notre Dame championship from like 2008 or whenever it was.
That was a while ago.
2004. I don't know. Yeah, look, go back and look it up. It was the Troy. Was it Troy Smith days or was it? Who was the big number two?
AJ Hawk and Brady.
AJ Quinn. Hawk and them boys, Brady Quinn, because they played each other because Brady was dating AJ's sister.
Really?
That's yeah. I watched it down in Florida with my Uncle Trace.
Ohio. That wasn't a championship game, though. I don't think
it was. It was a championship game. Yeah.
Was it January 2nd?
Ohio State beat Miami to win their championship.
Was it not? Was it just
this is a Fiesta Bowl or something?
I think it was just a BCS bowl.
A BCS? Dang.
Number 4 Ohio State played number 5 Notre Dame in 2005 season.
Yeah.
And Ohio State won 34-20. I'm assuming that's what you're referencing?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It was the AJ Hawk Brady Quinn game.
He was dating his really sister?
Yeah.
It's probably. Wow.
I think it was AJ's sister wore a jersey cut in half. One was Brady Quinn's Notre Dame jersey, and one was AJ's wow. Ohio State.
Oh, that's right. That's on.
Wow.
Right.
Can you imagine the dude banging your sister?
That's tough, dude. That is so tough.
He's on the other team.
But is there any better opportunity to get one over on your sister's boyfriend?
That's true.
Then to just pile drive him in a BCS game and then beat him and just have that over his head forever. We beat the brakes off you.
It's an awkward Thanksgiving for sure.
That is weird. Just a blindside blitz, just crush him from behind. That was back when football was football. There were no rules. You know, 2006. There was no targeting. What's targeting?
Yeah, what is targeting?
I still don't know. So there you have it. Probably the biggest takeaway from tonight is that Donnelly's is not closed. And
I'm relieved, frankly.
And I am too. The fact that those wings still get the grace.
I feel bad. I hope we didn't
I did too. January I told him. I told the guy. He messaged me on Facebook. He's like, I promise we're open.
Don't put that stuff out there.
He didn't ask me to fix it, but I said I will rectify this. We will not propagandize the demise of Donnelly's no more. We will prop them up. And so I think we've done that justice here. Hey. And if you go to Donnelly's, I'm literally not kidding. Like when Kevin and I went there, it was hard to focus on the podcast because I was enjoying the wings so much.
You were eating wings while podcasting?
We go back to episode.
Straight terrorism as far as audio quality.
Just horrible. Made it this far after doing that.
Might be a tough listen.
If you go to Donnelly's, tell them we sent you. Say, hey, I heard about you guys on the walk-ons. That's how sponsors and things work around here. That's why we get to work with people. They're like, oh, my God. We got to get that podcast going.
We got to do some kind of live charity wing eating contest for you guys.
I'm in. I'm in. I know Donald, I'm back for that.
Donnelly or Josh.
I'm all in for as many buffalo and barbecue wings as I can eat.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Can't wait. Two interviews this week as we close this one down. Two interviews lined up tomorrow and Tuesday. And I haven't told
Kevin
either.
Tell us right now.
Don't love tease. I think
you spoiled one of them already.
So I spoiled one of them already. We got Mason Richmond coming on tomorrow afternoon. I don't think Kevin's gonna make it. Monday's always busy for Kev, but it'll be me and I think G Bone. I think 4 o'clock.
Sure.
It could just be me. And Mason Richmond seems like he's been there for 5 years. Probably put a lot of good ball on tape. Richmond did, and he had to be a part of some of those struggles that they went through over the past couple of years when they were young. They were thrown in the fire. I'm excited to hear about what he's got to say, and then we got a big one on Tuesday night. Kevin should be able to make that one. I was planning on Kevin being there for this one regardless, so we will probably reschedule it if Kevin can't make it. We will not. I don't want to put that one in the ether because then if I do and it doesn't happen, the fans hate me. Podcast shuts down. I cry in a closet. So that's just what happens. Drake.
Tell me off air.
Oh, I'll definitely tell you when we get off. We're glad to have you tonight, man. It's always fun when you pop on.
Hey, guys. It was great to be here.
Yeah.
I miss looking at Kevin's fine ass.
Yeah, he's good to look at sometimes.
How do you get a tan in the middle of January?
I think it's just the night lighting.
It's just the lighting, man.
Golden hour.
Thank you guys for listening. I don't know, 568. We're getting close. We got to figure out who we're going to bring on for 600. I got a couple ideas. That'll be in a couple months. And
We got to have Brady Ross for 600.
666.
Yeah, we got to get him on for 666, actually. And I texted him last week, like Tuesday, and I said, hey, we want to get you on the podcast. You think you'd come on again? He goes, sure. I said, okay, any night that works good for you? He took 4 days to respond and said, hey, sorry, busy as shit. I said, okay, is there a night that works for you if you still want to come on? No response yet. So it's a little hard to work with the B-Ross, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Guys,
he's never been good at responding.
Yeah, I understand. He's living life. He doesn't give a shit. But we'll get him on soon, too. Lots of guests and stuff planned for the pod as we roll along here in January. Thanks for being here with us. That's the walk-ons, all four of us, for the first time in the new year. We'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.